Welcome to the Momco Leader Podcast. We believe that life and leadership are better in community. We're here to equip and encourage you as a leader and a mom. We'll talk about real issues and practical tools to help you grow in your leadership, motherhood, and faith. Hey, everybody, I'm Sherry Crandall, and I am your host for today. And I am so excited because it's that time of year where we have just unveiled the new theme for the Momco for this year. And so I get to talk to you today all about the theme, but I thought it was really important that I bring my friend along. And so welcome, Kelly Smith, to today's podcast.
I'm delighted to be here, and it is so much fun to talk about our new theme this year.
It really is. So for those of you who are new to our audience, Kelly is the Vice President of Marketing and Church Engagement. And so we are buddies. We work hand in hand every day to pull off some of these big things. But when it comes to theme, I just want to shout out our CEO, Mandy Arioto, because Kelly and I get the privilege of working with her very closely every day. And Mandy is just really an incredible leader, a godly leader, someone who really leans into her faith and asks the Lord for direction. And theme is one of the things that I see her do that so brilliantly and beautifully with. And we start there, right, Kel? Like we have to go, okay, we're praying for her and with her.
And I think the other things that I've just learned about her too is she's incredibly intentional. And so she really prays over every word. Like there is intention behind every word, every concept. And she talks to a lot of people, a lot of groups when she's out visiting your groups, when she's out talking with fellow moms of all ages. She is always seeking input to find and land at this place that every year she does. It's incredible at how timely it always ends up being. And this year is no exception.
Absolutely. I think we all felt a little pressure. You know, each year we kind of giggle like, oh, this is the best. It's amazing. And then it, you know, sometimes feels like this pressure to do it. And I shared with her, like it was right after Christmas. And I said, really, there's no pressure. Let's just have us continue to pray and lean into what God is sharing with you. And what was so cool is that because we've done this rebrand, which you've done so brilliantly, Kelly, you've led the charge for our organization to rebrand into the Momco. And Mandy had this idea as she was searching for the theme of God giving new names when there was like this huge shift or direction, or when he was asking someone to be something else. And, you know, two examples I think of off the bat was when Saul became Paul, Abram became Abraham. And you take a look at then what they continued on in their life to do and become. And we had prayed, I mean, you and I have been a part of this process really for 10 years in different ways to get to this rebrand. And we've talked a lot about that lately, but it's a new name. And even though our mission is the same, I think we're being called. We are now in 103 countries. We are expanding our leaders, the training, everything that we get to offer. We are a new name and we have new beginnings too.
It's beautiful and it's honoring. I feel like it's such a delicate balance, but we're honoring the backs of what this ministry has been built on over the last 50 years and looking forward to the next 50. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's the most exciting time to be here. There's just so much energy and life, and it just is a ton of fun.
It's amazing. It is so much fun. I mean, every time I get to come to Denver and put another pin on our map in the entryway, I just am overwhelmed by God's goodness. And one of my favorite parts of my job is going out and speaking to local groups. And I have also just felt this uptick in the excitement coming from our moms and our leaders at the local group level too. It's just not us at headquarters who are super excited. It is truly when I meet with people in other countries, when I meet with people, you know, in Denver, in Kentucky, in Tennessee, all the places I'm speaking, Everybody is so excited and they feel like they are a part of something that is growing. And, we joke we can't keep up with God, but it's kind of true. Like we
Yeah.
can. And so when the theme comes around, it's so important because when we say we can't keep up, we can't without this rally cry around what we're all focusing on this year. So when Mandy comes up with a theme, then we all get to work. And we help come up with these tenets. And then your team so brilliantly comes up with icons to like show that. And then our leaders, we take that and we teach that to people around the globe. And so this year, it has just been so exciting. And before I say the actual words, because at this point, most of you already know, but I want to read to you the verse that is really what we are settling around. And it comes from Isaiah 43, 18, 19. And I think it is just such a beautiful verse. And so I'm going to read it to everybody. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And gosh, I think for a lot of years, we felt like we're in the wasteland or we are, moms, the things that they're struggling with, like, how can we help them? How is our name holding us back from really being in places that we should be? And so, how exciting that this new name is also opening up doors. And so, this verse is going to be our anchor this year for the theme, which is wild hope.
Oh, exactly what the world needs right now when I think
Ta-da!
of, yes, oh, it's so timely. And I think for me, I can't let go of how divisive this year will be. It's an election year. It is a time that culture, I think, will be very polarized and hopeless. And we're already sensing that now, but I think it will only get worse. And so to have this really countercultural concept of wild hope, and oftentimes in the places that feel the most hopeless, having wild hope is such a stark difference that it attracts people to you. It's like, wait, why? How? How do you have wild hope in the midst of this? And I think that Isaiah verse really captures that really well.
Well, and our ultimate hope, as those of us who are believers in Jesus, as we're Christ followers, that hope is Him, right? That hope is Jesus.
Yeah.
And how wild is that? I mean,
Right.
that is something. And in the United States, we do have a lot of, division right now in an election year. But as we open ourselves up around the country, we are now in, this 1040 window, we're showing up so big in those regions and places where Christians are persecuted and places where they have their own political issues right now. And, there's lots of riots and things going on in Europe. And we have these moms showing up to say, okay, we're going to close the door for a minute. We're going to take a deep breath and we're going to come together and be a community so that when we leave, we can face what is going on outside. And you guys, that act, that fact that sometimes we have moms walking a long distance in Africa to get to a meeting. Sometimes we have girls in the US who take an hour commute to get to where they're going to meet. And what I hear everywhere is that when it's time to start this community meeting, this momco meetup, that is where everyone feels like they can take a collective sigh, like taking a deep breath. Blow it out. They can have a meal, sometimes not a meal. Sometimes they're just so happy to just be together and they can conquer what's going on outside because of this community that they have inside. And more importantly, because the hope that they're finding inside themselves in
Yes.
Jesus. So wild to me, adding that word hope in and of itself is this amazing word and an idea, hope. But wild hope, I feel like we just took it up a notch.
We did take it up a notch. You're right. And for
Amazing.
me, it's such an exciting time of year because it gives, and you mentioned this, but this like global rally cry around something that unifies us all. And I think that is not only exciting, but helps me to see the future, like see what this year will bring. It almost speaks it into existence in a lot of ways, and so it makes me very excited to be a part of it and excited that it's out now, that it's in the
Yeah,
world.
absolutely. So every year we do this theme, and we just told you how excited we are about Wild Hope. But then we've added another layer, and it's what we call tenets. And tenets are just fancy, it's a fancy word, really, I think, to describe we're going to have three ways in which you can live out Wild Hope. So we give you three practical ways, and each one of those ways is called a tenet, and it has a name. And it has an associated verse that goes with it. So I'm going to read the tenet, and then Kelly, in her brilliance, is going to just sort of unpack that. She's going to talk to you about the icon, why we chose that. So our first is be open to receive. And the verse that surrounds that is Mark 10:51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see you.
Oh, I've spent some time with this particular verse in the past, and I think it's fascinating. And Mandy talks about this, but there is a question that Jesus asks 7 times in the Bible, and that is, what do you want? And this idea of being open to receive is that I think sometimes we just get, like, if you're like me, stubborn and closed off. And so what we felt like was this thing that would really embody this idea of being open to receive is wildflowers. And so wildflowers is our icon for this one. This is one that we have focused on because wildflowers actually don't really have a care in the world. They sit, they blow, their seeds blow across a field, and then they spring up without any intervention or care. Like, the sun nourishes them, the rain waters them, but they grow in every single region from the Arctic to the tundra. And I was just struck by this because it is not something that's like, oh, you have to be in the perfect conditions in order to thrive. They grow year after year in all of the regions.
And they
Not only,
regenerate. I love
and
that so
right,
much. Yeah.
they are also, shockingly, I feel like, vibrant and untamed splashes of color. And so when I think and close my eyes and see wildflower fields, they're beautiful. They're not interested, like, even for me, like when I think of like a thistle, they're super painful, but they also have a beautiful purple
They
flower
do.
on them. And so they just add this unexpected layer, and they just thrive without needing to be tended to. The other thing that strikes me about wildflowers is that not only do they just grow and serve as our enjoyment to, like, gaze upon a beautiful wildflower field, but they support the life system in those areas. So the bees and the birds and the butterflies all rely on these wildflowers to continue to grow year after year, season after season, in order to have a thriving environment. So they play a critical role, and God's taking care of the details. He's provided for them. And so, how can we remember the wildflowers as we consider this idea of being open to receive and really throw off some of the things that stress us out or that we feel like we have to continue to pre-plan for or control?
I think as women, or at least this is what I've found, and maybe I'm just, sharing from my own viewpoint, but I think I love to be a giver. And as a mom and as a daughter and a wife and a, friend, you are a caregiver, right? You give a lot. And so I feel comfortable in the giving space. And so I love to give. I want to bless you. I want you to know I love you. But where I struggle is when it's my turn to receive, because for some reason in our society, and I think this is also a global issue, we are sort of taught, like, don't tell people you need to receive because then that shows that you're inadequate or you're less than or you're not thriving. When in reality, we all need to be open to receive, not just from what God will do in our life, but how we can receive from others. Because, when you do something for someone that makes you happy, right? Like, you're like, oh, I did that. That felt so good. And I had a friend one time tell me when I was struggling to receive help from her. And she said, please don't rob me of the blessing that it is to give to you because you've given to me. And I was like, oh, snap. I kind of felt like I was, like, oh. And that changed my way of thinking. I had to be vulnerable enough to say, I needed help and I needed to receive it. So, as our leaders are listening to this, I would encourage you to help create communities as we're living out this theme together that you model first that it's okay to receive and that you encourage one another to receive from each other, that it's not just about what you're giving, but be open to what you will receive this year. And even though you're a leader and you feel like you have to do, get it all done and be ready and have all these things, be open to receive what you're going to receive from the moms that are in group.
I mean, personally, it feels like you were just speaking to me. So I need to take that. I find that I often almost like the harder things are, or the more overwhelmed I am, the more likely I am to just pull on and do it all myself. Like the less likely, like if I'm in a good spot, I'm like, oh yeah, like sure, help with that or whatever. But the second that things get rough, I clamp down. So that is such a great challenge. And I think also just the ability to invite moms that maybe aren't on your leadership team and that are offering like, hey, can I set this up for you? I know that we all are wired as servants. And so we're like, no, I want to get it. I want to make this special. But she probably has that hunger to give back too. And so
Yeah.
you're right, that denying of that help is sometimes getting in the way of something for them and has nothing to do with us.
Absolutely. So we're
Oh,
going to be
okay.
open to receive.
Yes,
So
we are.
we are, both of us included, we're going to help lead this charge. So our next tenet is build endurance, and it comes from Romans 5, 3 through 5. And it says this. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Another incredible one, this concept of building endurance is something that I want to read a little bit of Mandy's words here because I think that they just give such perfect boundaries around this. But endurance helps us to discover the secret of contentment, which is the ability to find hope in any situation. It's tempting to outsource the growth process, to take the easiest route, but the advancement never lasts. Stop waiting for enough confidence or motivation to take action. Motivation comes from action. We must do the uncomfortable work by showing up and putting in the reps, building the habits and developing discipline. This is how we are reminded that just because something is difficult doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. Instead, it's the opportunity to endure, build character, and rediscover hope. I just,
Love it.
what a perfect way to pull that together. And Mandy actually discovered this bird. This bird is called a bar-tailed godwit, and this is a fascinating creature. This bird flies for 9 days with no sleep and nothing to eat. It actually shifts its organs around so that it has the cushioning and the fat stored to make this journey. And it's flight is for its migration. It migrates from Alaska to New Zealand, and it holds the record for the longest nonstop flight for any bird, which is over 6,834 miles.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
Just since I've discovered and learned about this bird, the times that I'm like, man, I'm so exhausted, I need to take a nap. I'm like, well, the godwit's still flying.
I'm on day two and the godwit is just getting started. That's hilarious. But so true, right? I mean, I love these icons because they are images for us to take in and absorb. But what I wanted to do on this podcast episode today is give you this behind the scenes more information. Like, we didn't just randomly pick a bird. We picked a really cool bird that is inspiring, that says, Just think about everything that this bird experiences in 9 days of travel. I mean, what I experience in 1 day of travel back and forth
You're
from,
right.
right?
Miserable.
Some days it's a walk in the park, and other days you're like, okay, this
Yeah.
is challenging. But isn't that the truth? You hear often, Kelly, when people say, well, if it's so hard, then maybe it's not something you should be doing because it should be easy, or like relationships should be easy, marriage should be easy. And I'm like, I disagree with that.
Yeah.
And here's why, because if something's super easy, at least for me, I don't have to try very hard because it's easy. But if I'm really committed to doing something, even things with the mom co or being a mom, like sometimes it's just not easy. Being a leader, being a mom, I'm like, this is a hard day. And it's even with things, I love my children more than anything in the world. I love my husband more than anything. And some days I'm like, huh, this was not an easy day, right? We both love working at the mom co, but do we have days that we go, that was a hard day? I think this verse and this formula and what you just shared about the bird is amazing because I think this is a life formula. So I want to say it again out loud. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I think if we skip, like Mandy just said, we can't outsource it.
Right.
I loved her words in that. We don't get to outsource what is difficult. I can't outsource my suffering. Only I can build the endurance by going through that, and only I will develop my own character. But in that, and because I've had that in my life, that's where I always see Jesus the most. And sadly, I mean, sometimes often when things are going well, we attribute it to like, wow, we were amazing, or we did
Yeah.
this. And when it's hard, we go, did I ever see Jesus show up? And that gives us hope that we can get through all of those things because we have him.
I completely agree with you. I think I can even unpack it with a tendency that I think we all, as moms, as women, share, and that is that when we are suffering, we immediately jump to self-doubt. And we start to believe that we did something wrong, or that, which even nods back to the prior tenet, but it may not be that it's wrong, but it might be building the character and the resilience that we need for even the next journey that's ahead.
Right.
And so I think that this concept is incredibly critical. And I also find this one to be very countercultural because I think that culture is the one that says over and over to us again, you should always be happy, and it should be easy. And neither of those are true and what the Bible says. And so I've seen Mandy somewhere else kind of put this idea that social media and other places tell us that we need to be perfect, but nobody even likes perfect people. Like, so why do we all like hunger and strive for like, nope, I got to keep it all together, when that's actually not even that interesting to spend time with. And so I think it's just an encouragement to definitely lean in when the struggles come and recognize that it's doing something in you that isn't necessarily going to feel comfortable, but it's necessary.
And it goes back to this authentic piece that I want all of our leaders to be authentic and to know that your MomCo meetup and your MomCo leadership team should be the place where you feel the most authentic to be yourself and to say, I'm struggling. I might need somebody to help me with this. So it's going to go back to like, be open to receive the help, but don't be afraid to say that you're struggling. And what I hope is that we'll see women holding hands, linking arms, whatever image you can create, to say, I just shared with you my suffering. And you say, I'm sorry, I can come alongside you in that. And together, we're going to build endurance and we're going to see our hope in Jesus in that. So, leaders, I would encourage you to help build authentic communities wherever you are. And lead in that. Don't be afraid to share or to please make space where people feel that they can be authentic and share what's they're struggling with. and let them know that struggling is actually normal. Let's normalize
Right.
that people struggle, or that let's
Yes.
normalize that people have bad days. I mean, we joke like, I'm having a bad hair day. Well, there's other parts of our bodies or minds or souls that struggle, not just our hair.
Yeah.
Right? Like
You're right.
we can have a bad soul day, but no one says that. You don't go,
No.
oh, I'm having such a bad hair day, or you don't say, Kelly, I'm having such a bad soul day,
Yeah.
or a bad
Yeah.
mental health day. We just let's normalize that in our world and with our communities, and it starts with our leaders. And
Yes.
so, guys, let's just normalize that. But also let's not be afraid to say, I'm having the best day ever. This is an
Yeah.
amazing day, and show up in celebration for that too, because oftentimes we don't get the sweetness of the awesome day if we haven't had the struggle of the bad day.
So good. Yeah.
Okay, we have one more tenet. This one is live passionately. And our verse is Jeremiah 29:13. And it says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
So I want to read from Mandy again here because I think living passionately is such a strong calling. It takes work. And so, as she put together, choosing passion means living fully committed. We are all asked to do more than we can do. Every hero and heroine of the Bible does more than they thought was possible. Peter walked on water. Sarah had a baby, even though it was biologically impossible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived a fiery furnace, and Moses stood in the middle of a sea, trusting that God would part the water. The story of God is filled with passionate and flawed people who God used to do impossible things. What if this year you pursue risky obedience and passionately go all in with God? And to illustrate that this year, this might be my favorite one. So I may nerd out a little bit here,
Please do, because
but
I found this so fascinating. So do share, do share.
so the tenet for this one is a lightning bolt. And as I dug deep into lightning bolts represent this immense amount of power, almost unfathomable. It also happens frequently. It occurs 1.4 billion times a year, and there are 2.2 billion moms on Earth. So roughly, for every mom, you get to claim two lightning strikes that happen every single year. So that is very frequent. Science knows that there's a separation of charges in certain parts of the cloud, but they don't know the exact process of what actually triggers a lightning bolt. Like, it's still mysterious to us, which I thought was unbelievable. Lightning happens at the boundaries of warm and cold. And this boundary concept is fascinating to me because I feel like this is getting into that, like, you can't be lukewarm, like, you can't be cold, you can't be warm. Like, there is this place that you can't let rest there. 25% of lightning is visible, 75% is unseen. Like, I had no idea that there's lightning
Yeah,
happening that we
that's
don't even
wild.
visibly see. There are three different types of lightning. There's cloud to ground, in the cloud, and cloud to cloud. The longest lightning bolt they've tracked is 477 miles long, which is insane. That's the state of Colorado, going across the state of Colorado for reference. And the longest has lasted 17.1 seconds. Science, as I referenced, does not know the full process of lightning. However, they know that it starts with a lightning leader, and this is the beginning of a lightning strike. The lightning leader finds a path, but other branches go off of it as it goes. Like, you can kind of imagine this in your mind. And as it goes down, it's increasing in speed and establishing an ionic channel. When it establishes that channel, it's making a place for the current to go. And the bright flashes and the thunder result from the charge of plasma that flows through that entire path. Electricity will take every single path available to it. So those established channels matter a lot. This core temperature inside there is 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and the sound is actually a shock
Whoa.
wave that you hear. For me, I could replace everything about lightning with passion. When you think about passion being something that sometimes happens loudly and very visibly, but other times happens internally, and we don't even know that somebody else is so passionate about it. It's also contagious, like this idea that once you've got your passion leader, if you will, branches often inspires passion in others. Like it's a catalytic moment when we start to tap into that passion. I think even this idea that 25% is visible, just again, layering that in with passion is just a crazy thing to do. And when I think of how much power is created in this exact process, there's a lot of power in passion. There's a lot of ability to do things that seem impossible.
Oh, I love that so much. I think we both have geeked out over that. What I love so much about what you just said, this whole leader magnet or leader channel, let's really just replace that with mom co-leader.
Yeah,
So
yes.
if you are a passionate mom co-leader, right? I want to just reference a pastor that we have in the West Coast of Africa. Pastor James. So if you're
Oh.
listening, Pastor James, hello, my dear friend. He is an incredible man of God, and he is so passionate that in the past year, he started over 100 groups in 9 different countries because
Unbelievable.
he believes in the power of Jesus to change people's lives, and he believes that moms need to be in community in order to visibly and physically feel that and experience God's love. And so think about you, wherever you're sitting right now as you're listening to us. Are you passionate? Because your passion is transferable. Your passion is like this lightning bolt, it is magnetic. You are going to sense it. We all, when we're around people who are passionate, that's my favorite because you're like, yes, I'm in too, because they
Yeah.
convinced you they're so passionate about it. Well, what if as mom co-leaders, we don't want to just be passionate about our own individual group where we are? Yes, that's important. But our passion stems from our relationship with Jesus. That hope, that wild hope that we're all going to experience, that's your passion. And if you can take that through down into your leadership team, down into the moms that are sitting in your group, that then when they walk out the door, they are being passionate. They're living passionately within their communities. You guys, all of a sudden, we have these little lightning bolts going around the world that are sharing the love of Christ and passionately showing how we can care for one another. So for me, this year and these tenets are so beautifully woven together that in order to experience wild hope, we have to be open to receive. We've got to do the work. We can't get out of it. We got to build our endurance. And then I would just love, I don't know, Kelly, I'm sure you're going to create some amazing merch that has to have a lightning bolt on it, right?
I mean, if you'll watch the theme reveal videos and pieces, we've snuck things in there. But yes, I agree with you. I think the visuals are so important
They
to
are.
tying the concept together, but also to just reminding us that for me, it's easy to go about your day and kind of forget, but you have something that triggers a memory as far as like, oh, like that's a good reminder. Living passionately. And I think this year, uniquely with a rebrand, as you mentioned at the beginning, and with this theme, our ability to unite a world-changing movement for Jesus is set up for wild expansion, wild reach, and God's doing something big.
He is, and it's so fun to be a part of it, and it's so fun to do it with you, Miss Kelly. I just love our
Completely
partnership.
agree.
So, leaders, thank you for listening today. We are really thrilled, honestly, and very humbled that we get to do the work that we do every day, and we also know that our organization would not be what it is without our volunteer leaders. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thank you.
Kelly, is there anything else you want to share before I wrap up?
unless you're going to do it, I would love to just read kind of the closeout paragraph so that we talk about that, unless you're going to do that.
Please do.
Okay. Mandy wraps it all up into this ending call, which is, God is about to do something new. Do you sense it? A new season of hope is rising, and it's starting right here with the kid raisers, the dust shakers, and the rule breakers who are willing to do the impossible in the name of Jesus. May our homes and the world be changed because we choose to live with wild hope.
Beautiful. Leaders, we are going to live this year with wild hope. We will be open to receive. Together, we will build our endurance and we will live passionately so that because of that, others see Jesus through us. Leaders, we do know that your time is valuable and we're so proud of you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. We know that when you invest in moms, you change the world, and we believe you and we're cheering for you.